This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Bob Varsha, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to your Sunday night with Speed City, live from Austin, Texas. This is John Massengill. I'm in the studio with my friend Jonathan Green.
Is this Austin?
Yes, sir.
Austin, Texas, baby. I can't do it as well.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
I haven't seen you. I was off last week.
You were in Georgia.
I was in Georgia.
Had you had a beverage?
I did not have a beverage.
Because your syntax wasn't great on your text.
I was just totally relaxed, man. I was taking the week off. I was disengaged.
I didn't know you knew the feeling.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I'm not very good. I was living in your world, buddy.
Isn't it great?
Hey, we're going to talk some motorsports here, too, because there's lots going on in Formula One, believe it or not, even though we've got the week off. We've got lots to talk about anyway. And we got a couple of really good little segments, a couple of interviews. We did an interview, our buddy Chris Medlin did for us, with Jessica Hawkins.
Yeah. If you don't know who that is.
Yeah, the first woman to test a Formula One car.
And?
Since 2018. And?
She's going to be here.
Yeah.
Racing for the F1 Academy in those colors, in Aston Martin colors.
Yeah, that was a cool story. And there's plenty to talk about around that, too.
Yeah.
Because there's another story that folds right into the that has to do with Andretti.
Well, I was about to say,
we're on the web, you say it is
a quiet week, but it's quiet weeks like this where I can make this dun 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 statement, which says we are going to have a woman in Formula One within the next 2 years, prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And Andretti are going to be the 11th team in Formula One. My opinion, but
mark these words.
I think my dad would say, mark my words, son. The Andretti story is still just opinion and rumor, but it's gotten really, really strong.
I think Roden has let it out the bag. We're going to talk about that story, but I think that, because it was such a cryptic story.
Yeah.
It was like, why did it get such a headline? It's like, Roden are out, but we just want to thank everybody. And by the way, if we had made it, and congratulations to Andretti.
Yeah. That's basically.
We'll talk about that.
We'll go into it, but yes.
And by the way, if you agree with me or disagree wholeheartedly and you want to fly into the studio and beat the heck out of me, 512-643-5483, but be gentle.
Yes, the caller line, 512-643-LIVE, if you want to call and join the show. We also have a text line.
Ooh.
It's a sponsored text line, the Lowy Law Firm text line, 512-643-5483.
Aaron, you didn't hear that.
And what's that, Casey? Oh, it's the same number.
Duh.
But also, I have no idea how to get those texts, so hopefully Casey will get them and feed them to us.
It's from the Lowry Law Firm.
Yes, the Lowy Law Firm.
Oh, Lowy.
Lowy Law Firm, yes.
Lowy.
And message and data rates apply.
Ooh. So,
thumbs up from Casey on that. Yes. So, you know what, Jonathan? I want to start tonight talking about Liam Lawson. I missed last week.
Oh, my favorite subject.
Yeah, I know. We had Liam on right before his world exploded and got a drive in Formula One.
Does that not tell you anything? I mean, look at you win the 500 if you come on Speed City. But you're absolutely right. Carry on.
I'm excited because he's still very much in line for a Formula One seat, even though he didn't get the seat for 24. He's absolutely still in line.
I actually think that he's already proven, and sadly I have to muck Mr. Sargent in with this, and I'm not comparing them because I know they've been talked about in the same vein, and it may happen, but when you compare the summer of ill repute or summer of sadness for Sargent, oh, alliteration. God, I'm awake.
No more coffee.
More coffee. But no, if you look at what Sargent's done in a similar car, neither car, Williams or AlphaTauri, is particularly competitive. So we're not expecting him to finish in the top six. But the fact that he scored world championship points, and they've got no more than, what, five? And he scored one of them, I think it is. I mean, they're the worst team in Formula One.
Yeah, a little more, but yeah. Paper.
Yeah. But my point is, he made zero mistakes. And overtook Max, held off Perez, held off his teammate at Suzuka on two occasions. And even though the team made the wrong call at Suzuka, he still managed a great result. And so, yeah. What were you going
to? Well, I just wanted to talk about, I mean, look, he stepped midway into the season, right? And scored points and came in 11th twice.
Yep.
So he, I mean, He proved it that you can walk in and hit the ground running. He did it. You know, we talked about can he do it? Look what DeVries did and then didn't do. And I mean, he also impressed over qualifying and over race distance. So he's quick, but he's also got the mental capacity to do both one lap and race pace.
And by the way, there's talk of him. He'll obviously do Qatar this week, this next weekend, but he may well do COTA simply because.
If Ricardo's not ready.
If he's not 100% ready. I'd be surprised, but it is a week before his Japan. It clashes. His last round in Super Formula clashes with Mexico.
Okay, so the next week. Yeah,
next week.
After COTA.
So he could leave from COTA and go straight to Japan and prepare himself for his last round, which, by the way, he's only 2 points away, and it's his teammate who leads.
For the championship.
And they've come together already, and it's for the championship.
Can you imagine the confidence he is brimming with going into these, what is it, two races?
Well, no, it's one.
It's the final race in Super Formula. Okay, for all the marbles.
Yep.
Also, think about this. So I talked about his race pace, his qualifying pace, all these different things. Look at the variation of race tracks he went to.
Yep.
Totally different. It's not like he was a street car specialist or he was, you know, a particular style. He went to all these different racetracks and never missed a beat.
And by the way, he's the reserve driver for both AlphaTauri and Red Bull. And think about that. Completely different cars, completely different engineers. And in fact, I would tell people, how do you point people to our SoundCloud, as it were? Because the entire interview is on our SoundCloud. A lot of people will be genuinely interested in learning more about him. And in that interview, we pushed the buttons a bit. We asked him about De Vries. We asked him about Ricardo. We asked him about his own upbringing and what he does in the sim. And we also find out a little bit about what he says about Verstappen, which I found really interesting because I pointedly said, hey, how good is he? You're on the headphones. And so that's worth listening to, if nothing else, because there's no reason for him to hype a guy that he is studying as an understudy and could well become his teammate in the not too different future.
Yeah. You can go to SoundCloud, and if you just search us up, Speed City, or you can actually search for, it's got a pretty decent engine. You can actually search for Liam Lawson or whatever you want, and it'll come up. There's not that many people putting that kind of content on SoundCloud. So. But, you know, I mean, Lawson has done so, just literally ticked every box, right? But also, think about this. Red Bull could loan him out next year.
Yeah, well, that's one of the stories, which is,
He could go to Williams if Sargent doesn't tick the boxes.
Yeah, and at the moment, and you're talking about a quiet week in Formula One, Williams are fighting a rear guard on behalf of Sargent, saying, look, we're setting him goals, we still believe in him. The crashes are the crashes, but to be honest, what you're not seeing is what we're seeing, which is he's doing a lot of good things. And I agree with that, and his teammate, Albon, is flying. Yeah. Very, very good driver. We forget sometimes that Albon was Verstappen's teammate.
And let's also not forget, they have not been in like-to-like equipment.
Yes.
Albon had better aerodynamics at, what, the last two races, I think? So it has not been apples to apples as far as the equipment goes. But
can
I do like the way James
Vowell... Verstappen? Go on.
I was just going to say, I like the way James Vowell has pretty much after every race on our show live stepped up and said, we are not giving up on Sargeant. We're, you know, we're giving him every shot at keeping this seat.
And, you know, I think it's a smart move by Williams. I think he is a good driver, very good driver. And I mean, his approach with the media is very, I look at Lawson and he as very similar in many ways, and their approach is cool-headed. He's good with the media. That was another side of it. Lawson was thrown into the maelstrom of you know, the weird beard of Medland and all the rest of the gang. But they're not, you know, they don't hold back, you know, in those huddles. And they get asked pointed questions live on Sky and, you know, yeah, German TV and you name it. Mick Schumacher's in the hunt as well. You know, there's a lot to do at a Formula One race weekend. And then achieving something in the worst car is pretty impressive.
And let's face it, how many drivers have we seen that took time? Some amazing drivers over history.
Absolutely.
You could probably come up with some over a long history, but it's not unusual at all to see a driver take some time. I mean, Red Bull wants everybody to be ready by their, you know, like Lawson was. But
yeah,
that's not the case for everybody.
And look at, I mean,
There's too many variables.
Yes. There's too many vowels.
See? Too many vowels, Mr. Variable.
Yeah, I'll take an E, please, Bob. Bob's not here. But anyway, what was I going to say? I knew he'd catch up with me eventually if I kept going for him.
Yeah, that was your fault. You left a gap in the space.
I know, it was too much of a gap. No, but I do think... Oh, now I'm blighted now. I can't do another thing. I'll think of my thought in a moment.
All right, well... You know what? Let's go in and take a break. When we come back...
You're exhausted.
Well, I'm looking at the time anyway. It's time to take a break. When we come back, we are going to have the interview with Jessica Hawkins that Chris Medlin did for us. And we'll have more after this. Listen to Speed City. Back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Hi, this is Karun Chandok, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, so we were talking offline to the YouTube crowd, but let's just talk about Jessica Hawkins, who she is a little bit first, because, Jonathan, you made the key point off during the break, is that she was already a part of the Aston Martin team.
Yes, she was.
Because, you know, when everybody thinks of a female open-wheel driver right now, they're thinking, you know, head and shoulders is Jamie Chadwick. But Jessica Hawkins has been a successful race driver for a number of years in lots of different series.
Yes, she did. She's done the classic, if you will. She started off in karts and then did British Formula Ford. And then also the MRF Challenge, which is the India... it's the Indian series, which is a good series to get you, you know, that's another one that Mick Schumacher did as well back in 1560. She did the Mini Challenge and the Volkswagen Racing Cup. And she's also done the Jaguar I-Pace E-Trophy, which is, of course, the sister series, if you will, of Formula E. And it's a world championship.
I-Pace is the, it's a Jaguar-based one-make series.
One-make electric car.
Yeah.
And it runs congruent with Formula E, or certainly used to. And so another good one. She's also done British touring cars. But her, if you like, claim to fame and how we get to know her, or got to know her, is when the W Series came here, she was racing back then, the W Series obviously was teams. She was racing for one particular team. She's done 19 starts in W Series. Her best finish, only ninth. And she's
That was ninth in the championship, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. That's
best finish of ninth, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's not really dug up, you know, trees on the way there, but she's been consistent. She's got a lot of single-seater thing. The detriment to her, or could be a plus, I don't know, is that she's 28.
Now, yeah, I saw that.
I actually think the detriment is if she were, isn't this weird? If she were a guy, that would be kind of like, well, you're too late.
Yeah, yeah.
But I actually think that,
interesting,
that because she's got the experience behind her at 28, and because the uniqueness of having a woman in Formula One, Chadwick, remember, won all the W Series, and then went to
damn near all the races,
and because Williams didn't do what they've done with Jessica, they didn't give her a seat, they didn't give her a chance to race for Williams or even Friday practice for Williams, which I thought was a little bit unfair, but anyway.
All right. Well, I'm just excited that, you know, this is a very interesting story that we got a woman in an F1 car. It's a 2021 Aston Martin car, but still, and she did the test, and Chris Medlin caught up with her right after that.
Jessica, thank you so much for coming on the show. Now, your title at Aston Martin is Driver Ambassador, but that might need changing now. You've lived out a dream for so many people. Just how was it to drive a Formula One car for the first time?
What can I say? Amazing, firstly. Everything that I ever dreamt it to be and so much more. The capability of the car just blew me away. Equally, I was just as happy with my performance.
I mean, it's obviously got you busy. I think you're in Manchester now, I believe. I mean, how's the reaction been to the news?
Crazy, again. my phone has been dinging a lot. My phone, I mean, what time is it? It's just past midday and my phone's nearly run out of battery. Lots of messages and phone calls, you know, congratulating me and everything. So yeah, it's been crazy.
I mean, did you expect such a reaction? Did you expect people to, it must have been hard to keep secret because I know you had to sit on it for not only a few days after doing the test, but the build-up as well.
I know the build-up was actually quite a long time, actually. It's maybe pushing a year or something, because the first two times when it was originally supposed to happen, we were cursed with poor weather. So, yes, third time lucky. It's finally nice to be able to tell people. I told a very select, close few people. But other than that, it's nice to be able to shout and scream about it now.
Oh, yes. Well, very well deserved. And you mentioned like it being a year ago, maybe. Like, when did like proper preparation start? Because Mike Crack said in the release announcing it all that your approach to simulator sessions really impressed the team. But how long were you working on that? How much work had to go in to you being able to jump in the car?
Well, I'd used the simulator a few times before I heard that it could be a possibility. And then when I heard it had been, you know, it was going to be a possibility, then obviously I pushed just that little bit further, you know, pushed harder in the gym, pushed harder on the sim. I guess it gives you that last little piece of the puzzle, you know, with something dangling right in front of you. The simulator had gone fantastically. I think I did a really great job on the sim, and maybe that was the nail in the coffin, I guess. And I got the news it was happening. I didn't have a date, and then I got a date, and then it didn't happen, and then that happened again, and then here we are. Third time it happened, and it went really, really well. I'm very, very happy. Maybe the first two times didn't happen for a reason, and I believe that's the same with a lot of my career. Maybe things didn't happen for a reason, but everything that I've done has led to that day. Very happy and proud of myself, which I rarely say. I'm very rarely am I 100% proud of my performance. I always pick it with a fine tune. Whatever that saying is. Happy with my performance. Again, not 100%, but for the most part, extremely happy considering all the circumstances.
Well, given, as you say, the circumstances and the build-up as well, just how were the nerves beforehand?
Do you know what? I had little periods where I was a bit nervous, but I felt so ready that... anytime I ever felt nervous, I thought to myself, what are you nervous for? This is what you do. You're ready for this moment. You've prepared 20 years, you know, it's 20 years I've been in the sport and driving on and off and racing and doing the bits that I do. And that really gave myself comfort, I guess, in knowing that I was ready, knowing that I'd put absolutely everything I could into it. And I guess that was made the nerves manageable. I think I was just more excited, to be honest.
I bet you're absolutely buzzing to get in the car, but then obviously you don't know how it's all going to play out. And it sounds like conditions were challenging, to say the least. Just talk us through the day that you had on your plate.
Yeah, so when I actually left my hotel, because the trouble is on the Academy tyre that we use, it has to be either soaking wet or dry, because there's no intermediate tyre. So we can't kind of go out in damp / medium wet conditions, which is what let us down previously. And when I walked out the side of the hotel, I looked at the floor and I thought, no, not again. And the clouds above me were looking really kind of iffy and dark and rainy, but it wasn't raining really hard, which was also kind of like, just do one or the other, be dry or wet. I don't mind which one. I would have preferred it to be dry, but so I got to the circuit and it hadn't been raining there. And then maybe 5 minutes before I was supposed to go out, there was a big downpour. But again, not wet enough for wet, not dry enough for slick. So then when it dried, I went out and did my installation lap. I was then getting ready for my first run. And again, another downpour. And it kept raining and raining and raining, but not heavy enough to be wet. So had a 3-hour wait on our hands. And then went out and it was dry. So, or it was slightly damp when I went out for my first run, but then it quickly dried up.
Well, yeah, it's one of the things the team mentioned actually was kind of the fact that you had to deal with a drying track on slick tires. But there was something else that was published in the press release, was that they said your lap times were strong too, judging by their comments.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I'm rarely am I ever happy with my performance, but I think I did a good job. Let's leave it there.
Oh, you're not going to give us any insight that you would have been on pole for the Grand Prix or something like that. I know it's a 2021 car, but still.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't have.
But well, based
I'm pretty
on that,
sure
though,
we weren't in qualifying mode anyway. So
exactly, yeah. It is a test, isn't it? And it's there's a lot of things that you had to learn and the team wanted to learn about the way you went about it. But just how encouraging was it, I guess, the way you felt you got up to speed and the way you handled those conditions as well, based on the fact that any small mistake could have been pretty costly, because Budapest doesn't have a huge amount of runoff areas either.
It doesn't, but luckily I'd raced the circuit in the year before in W Series, so the circuit wasn't a complete stranger to me. Also with the laps that I'd done on the sim, so that wasn't an issue. I think I did a good job, but that's testament to the team as well. They helped me with every step along the way, ensured that I was ready. As we all know, you know, it's not very often they don't, you know, put you in the car lightly. And if they don't think you're ready, you don't go in the car. So, they made my job easy. Everybody in the team and the Evolution team was fantastic and made me feel very at ease and very prepared and gave me all the tools that I needed to do a great job.
Well, the way we've kind of spoken about it so far is, you know, I said you've lived out a dream for so many, and we've talked about just your own performance, which on its own is incredible and a really cool thing to have done. But obviously, bigger picture, you're the first woman to test a modern day F1 car in 5 years. How proud are you to be an inspiration to so many people, and thankfully to kind of end that run that it's been 5 years since someone can say they've done this?
Yeah, well, it's just that. It really is just that. And look, if I can inspire the younger generation to go and follow their dream and push for things that they perhaps didn't think was possible, then fantastic. And if that leads to more opportunities in the future for more young females, then I'm a massive advocate for it and very, very proud to be one of the leading ladies in driving that push forward. And I really wouldn't have been able to do it without Aston Martin Formula One team, because they've just been fantastic and giving me the ability to be able to do that.
Yeah, we've seen the very positive reaction to it on social media as well. I think it has inspired a lot of people, which is really, really cool to see. But let's keep it or close it about you. What is for you next? Is there hope to get another run in the car?
Look, of course, I'm always going to want to go in the car again. I'm now I've had a little taster. I want more. I'm a racing driver, but look, I also want to go racing. I'm looking for opportunities, looking to bring on sponsors, and without sponsors, I don't go racing. So, yes, jump back in the car. Hopefully, you know, I'd like to race an LMP or GC3 next year. I'm open to opportunities, but yes. Aside from my racing, I'll be heavily involved with Aston Martin's F1 Academy team, which I take great pride in. I'm very excited to be working with our young driver and help mentor and help her along her way. So the future is bright.
Well, fingers crossed some of those sponsorship talks are helped by being able to say you're a Formula One driver. So congratulations on the run, and thanks so much for joining us here on Wheel to Wheel to tell us all about it.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, you heard Chris say Wheel to Wheel. That's the Wheel to Wheel show that Chris and I do every Wednesday. Go to our website, check it out. And if you want to watch, listen to that one, actually, it's on the radio. Two comments that pop out at me, Jonathan. One is that she said, they don't put you in the car unless they think you're ready. I think that was a very telling thing. It's a 2021 car, so it's not the latest car where it's a disaster if she wrecks it. But that's a very valuable test tool they put her in. And at the Hungaroring.
Very hard track. Yeah. And I really do think that, you know, as a sportsman, not that I've ever been a racing driver, but as a sportsman, I know what it feels like when you finally realize the 32 people that prepared you, strapped you in, give you the data, are on the wall, giving you information, you're going through your run plan. You know, this is no mean feat.
Yep.
This is a worldwide, very big business. Fernando Alonso, one of the greatest drivers in the world. You know, if you're their reserve driver or whatever, if she can get to that point, the confidence that would build to realize that she is sitting in a seat that 600 people have prepared effectively.
Yeah.
And they're trusting her because they know from the simulations that she knows what she's doing. And that goes for any other, you know, that goes for Lawson too. There is that sure realization that they can either scare the pants off you, or it's a realization, as she said, that, hey, why am I nervous? I've been waiting for this for 20 years and working towards this. There's no need for nerves.
And this is not some sort of publicity stunt. It's just way too much at risk for this to be, all right, we're going to put a female in the car for a headline. It's It's way beyond that, because it's just too much at stake.
And by the way, God, I wish I had an 11-year-old daughter at this point, because I'd be pointing her and saying, this is, you know, hey, you want to be inspired? Go for it. She's also a stunt driver. She was in James Bond's movie, the last
one. That's right. Yeah, I don't know the name of it, but I saw that she's a stunt driver.
Live to Die For. Yeah, she's a genuine stunt driver.
Well, it's funny. I did send it to my college freshman daughter.
There you go.
Just because, you know, it's whatever you want to call it, breaking barriers or, you know, all that stuff.
I know. And there's a lot of cliche that's slung around here. But for what has been a male ridiculously
dominated
sport, to finally see that glass ceiling being broken, and for all the right reasons, I'm delighted. And like I said, it's high time. It should have happened 20 years ago. And I also think the marketing opportunity that, you know, that springs by, you know, by just merchandising, getting more people, getting the family involved. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. It's
Let's
just
face
great.
It's not the first time. I mean, yes, the woman factor is in here, right? Somewhere in this equation, just like the American factor's in the equation for Logan Sargeant, just like the money factor's in there with Checo and lots of other drivers, right? There's more to it than just raw talent. It's a big complex. It's an algorithm, Jonathan.
Yeah, and why it's not hyperbole what I'm saying here about a woman in Formula One will change the game, because I'll tell you why. Danica Patrick won one race in Indy, just the one, and she led the 500, and she, you know, she had a decent career. But I can tell you, having talked to the Indy folk, she outsold every one of those IndyCar drivers for merchandising. From inspiring young women to get behind her and be, you know, on the wall, I mean, at the 500.
Everybody loves an underdog. And let's face it,
yeah.
You know, a woman is going to be an underdog right now. All right, well, let's get a quick break in. And when we come back, we'll have more Formula One stories. And we're also, later in the show, we have an interview with Katie Chow, who is with Circuit of the Americas, talking about the upcoming USGP right around the corner. You're listening to your Sunday night with Speed City, back after a quick break. Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstop Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I'm not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstad beer, fantastic. And I'm, you know, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's around all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadtbier, Altstadtbier.com. Altstadtbier, Altstadtbier.com.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk a little Andretti Global. Andretti, the Formula One effort that they're doing, and the rebrand that they did of Andretti Global.
Can I make one more point before we
leave? On Jessica?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Or at least Aston Martin. I think Aston Martin, and this is something I think it is... Fine, put her in the F1 Academy, but do what they did with Lance Stroll, which is, before he got into Formula One, Dad, because he's wealthy, paid for him to come to here, to COTA, to go to all the F1 tracks in the same car, a 2021 or a two-year-old car.
Yeah, two-year-old car.
And he did lap after lap after lap on his way to Formula One. And I think if you are serious and you've made the investment already as Aston Martin, then do that with her. Don't just put her on the spot and put her in the F1 Academy and hope, you know, that she survives. Absolutely invest in her and do what you did with Lance and give her some laps. That's what she needs. And that's why Chadwick made the smart move of moving to Indy Lights. At least she's competing now, whereas sat on the sidelines with a set of headphones on wasn't getting her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, and Chadwick, have you watched how she's progressed this year?
She is progressing.
Well,
yeah.
She started off, first time I looked, she was 19th, I guess, after a couple of races. And she was complaining about the strength that it took to muscle the wheel, because, you know, they're not power steering like Formula One cars. And now she's up to 10th. Are they finished? They're done.
Yeah,
of course they're done, yeah.
But so, she's done okay.
Yeah, she moved, 10th in her first year. I mean,
and it's a very competitive Indy Lights series.
Absolutely. Very competitive. And, you know, I did have a couple of notes, since we're still on Jessica Hawkins. I watched another interview she did where she said she cried before she got in the car, and she said that her road to where she is has not been easy. She doesn't have money. Her last name is not Stroll. And she said this test, the 25 laps or whatever
has made it all worth it.
Has made every blood, sweat, and tear worth it. That was a quote from her. And
yeah.
I mean, and it's true. I mean, something that hadn't happened in 5 years, it's a big enough deal. So that was a pretty cool deal. So.
But going back to Dave Lawrence, no, they haven't got it right yet. And it may take some real movement, you know, in the next 3 years with this F1 Academy, which like I said, Formula One have now put their name and logo on it. So they've got the money to make it work, whereas the W Series, as we know, or if you don't know and you've been under a rock, failed because it ran out of money.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Andretti.
Yes.
We've been talking about Andretti getting into Formula One now for, what, 2 years?
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
And September 5th, an announcement came that they were officially rebranding as Andretti Global, right?
Yep.
And from Andretti Autosport. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, is that just a coincidence? Well, I immediately thought, it's not a coincidence. And then immediately after that, the rumor started really strong that Andretti had cleared the first hurdle. And to those who haven't followed as closely as we have, is that the first hurdle is that the FIA, not Formula One, but the FIA has to approve any team that wants to move into Formula One. And there were several in the works. And included on that list was Roden Cars. And that is an Australian company, an Australian billionaire,
yes,
a tech billionaire.
But lives in New Zealand.
Ah, but lives in New Zealand. Okay. So Roden.
Built a track.
What's his name? Like Dusty or?
Dicker.
Yeah.
David Dicker.
David Dicker. That's it.
He actually has his own circuit.
Yes.
Which Lawson has driven, because he's sponsored by Roden Cars,
as
is Jacob Douglas and a few others.
This is Louis Sharp. This is what Jessica Hawkins or Jamie Chadwick need is a Stroll or a Dicker to give them their own, because Stroll had his own track too in his backyard.
In his backyard.
So,
but yes, go. So I was just saying.
So Roden, what happened was Roden was one of the ones that was on the list, and they came out publicly and said, the FIA has told us that we are not, that we didn't make the cut, and congratulations to Andretti, they made the cut. So in other words, they leaked it.
Yeah. I can give you the exact quote.
Yeah.
He said, unfortunately, our bid was not successful. Recent information suggests, as anticipated from the outset of this process, that the only successful applicant will be Andretti Global. That is David Dicker.
Yeah.
Head of Roden.
And so I did some research.
By the way, Lawson
afternoon.
Is sponsored by Roden.
Is he? Yeah. I think I remember seeing that, but I did some research today, and I was trying to look at the timelines. And so as late as third week of August, Andretti was saying, we still haven't heard. We still haven't heard from FIA. We still haven't heard from Formula One. No, we don't know what's happening. We still feel good. We still feel confident, but we haven't heard. And then they were quiet. And then on September 5th, they announced the rebranding of the Andretti Autosport.
Which was always on the cards.
Right. It was always in the cards. But, you know, think about it. If you're still with some uncertainty, are you ready to do all the stuff? I mean, it's just like the confidence of a driver after a great win or whatever. They just had a great win, and they announced this big Andretti Global name, and I think it was probably that week when they had heard from the FIA that they had been accepted.
Well, on the one show that you missed this year, or two shows that you missed this year, our good friend Dave O'Neill said that his intel tells him that they already have a team of 30 people in England, hand-selected, working on the project.
Interesting.
Which both me and Bob went, interesting.
Yeah.
So he said that on the radio.
And all you people listening, just let your gears turn in your head.
Yes, exactly. And I just want to fill in the blanks with Roden. Dave Dicker absolutely made his wealth in Australia, but built his own circuit. And Roden Cars, very clever concept. He has built effectively a Formula One car, which you can start with a key. Now I'm being over the top.
Yeah.
But it is a way to race a Formula One spec or size car.
Or close, yeah.
Close to, without having six engineers to start the thing. So the point is, yes, you can show up and basically understand, you know, what a Formula One car can do, because he's built his own, but he's built it in such a way that it is an arrive and drive situation.
Think about it. You could do this because you're not constrained by the rules.
No.
You could say, all right, instead of a 1.6 liter, I'm going to go with a 3 liter to make the horsepower much easier. And you can go with some sort of hybrid system, maybe an off the shelf, maybe, you know, something that you could. So in other words, you could make the same horsepower without spending gazillions of dollars. Like
and his other deal is he bought 80% of Carlin Motorsport.
Yes.
So he's a partner with Trevor Carlin. And as you know, Trevor's
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And he's involved in all the junior series. So that will eventually lead to somebody from that Roden setup, from the effectively the Carlin Roden setup, will lead to somebody getting a Formula One drive. No question.
And remember what Roden said about who they would have for as a driver?
Just
female.
They said they would have, well, they even went further and said it would be Jamie Chadwick.
Yes, yes. So, you know, another tie-in, but, you know, and there's a reason. It's the same we just discussed. So that's what, but with Roden announcing and then with Andretti announcing their rebrand, you know, I think it's all but about to be announced. We talked about it before the show. It's like, who knows? Maybe they announce it at Coda.
All right.
Maybe they're waiting.
Yeah, listen, Mr. Host.
That wouldn't be unusual.
Yeah. Listen, Mr. Host, I'm going to turn it on you. Are Andretti going to be successful in this bid?
Ah, that is wonderful, because I was reading, I think it was AutoWeek.com or whatever, and I was reading on some of the comments, and somebody said, oh, they're going to show up, and great, Andretti's going to show up and be at the back of the grid, you know, circling around. But, and they said, like Haas did, and... But there's a very big distinct difference between Haas and Andretti. You remember when Haas F1 decided to come to Formula One, what did they say? They said, we don't even want sponsors on our car. All we want is the exposure. We want to grow Haas Automation globally. Mm-hmm. We're a household name here in the United States. There are some European countries. We want to be global. And Formula One is the way to be global. So they didn't. It's almost like, of course, they want to do well. But Andretti doesn't have that. Andretti has one goal when they go into a race series, and that's to win. And being serious by getting Cadillac and General Motors behind them, I don't expect them to walk in and be instantly successful. But I don't expect them to be satisfied, or, you know, I think them, you know, the fire that burns in the belly of, we have seen it. Whites of their eyes, as close as you and I are together, we've seen it with Michael and with Mario, and those guys have that competitive burn as much as anybody on the planet in any sport.
If you really did take Michael to task and say, what is the one unfinished business, it would be the fact that he did do Formula One, he didn't make it for lots of reasons. One of which was Mika Häkkinen, who was very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, and another is he didn't sign up and go and live in Europe, which was essential at the time. But I think he and the Andretti clan, the family, I think that has been something that they talk about at Thanksgiving for the last 30 years. And I think it's not just Michael, it's Mario, it's Marco, it is global. I think this is a legacy that they want to achieve for Mario's legacy. And I think it's important for Formula One too.
I do. I think it's great for Formula One, but I've been saying this, kind of been banging this drum lately, but that competitive fire that some people, the greatest athletes can, you know, you can be the greatest physical specimen, but if you don't have that, I am not going to let you beat me. If you know, that is the one thing that every top athlete, every top, you know, team. No,
we saw it at the Ryder Cup this weekend. I mean, you know, golfers don't get to play in teams, and you could see the passion. Did I mention that you guys didn't win? Oh,
it's funny. I didn't watch. I've never been much on golf, but I didn't watch. That's golf, right? Ryder Cup is golf.
Ryder Cup is golf. Yeah,
I do like my NFL football, but don't tell me the Cowboys score.
Okay.
We're up against the break already, because we want to come back, because we sat down with somebody from Coda. It's a really interesting discussion. You're listening to your Sunday night with Speed City, and we'll be right back.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk a little Andretti Global. Andretti, the Formula One effort that they're doing, and the rebrand that they did of Andretti Global.
Can I make one more point before we
on
leave?
On Jessica?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Or at least Aston Martin. I think Aston Martin, and this is something I think, it is fine. Put her in the F1 Academy, but do what they did with Lance Stroll. which is before he got into Formula One, Dad, because he's wealthy, paid for him to come to here, to Kota, to go to all the F1 tracks in the same car, a 2021 or a two-year-old
car. Yeah, two-year-old car.
And he did lap after lap after lap on his way to Formula One. And I think if you are serious and you've made the investment already as Aston Martin, then do that with her. Don't just put her on the spot and put her in the F1 Academy and hope, you know, that she survives. Absolutely invest in her and do what you did with Lance and give her some laps. That's what she needs. And that's why Chadwick made the smart move of moving to Indy Lights. At least she's competing now, whereas sat on the sidelines with a set of headphones on wasn't getting her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, and Chadwick, have you watched how she's progressed?
She is progressing.
Well, she started off, first time I looked, she was 19th, I guess, after a couple of races. And she was complaining about the strength that it took to muscle the wheel, because, you know, they're not power steering like Formula One cars. And now she's up to 10th. Are they finished? They're done.
Yeah, they're done.
Of course they're done, yeah.
But so, she's done okay.
Yeah, she moved, 10th in her first year. I mean,
it's a very competitive Indy Lights series.
Absolutely. Very competitive. And, you know, I did have a couple of notes since we're still on Jessica Hawkins. I watched another interview she did where she said she cried before she got in the car, and she said that her road to where she is has not been easy. She doesn't have money. Her last name is not Stroll. And she said this test, the 25 laps or whatever
has made it all worth it.
Has made every blood, sweat, and tear worth it. That was a quote from her. And I mean, and it's true. I mean, something that hadn't happened in 5 years, it's a big enough deal. So that was a pretty cool deal. So.
But going back to Dave Lawrence, no, they haven't got it right yet. And it may take some real movement, you know, in the next 3 years with this F1 Academy, which, like I said, Formula One have now put their name and logo on it. So they've got the money to make it work, whereas the W Series, as we know, or if you don't know and you've been under a rock, failed because it ran out of money.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Andretti.
Yes.
We've been talking about Andretti getting into Formula One now for, 2 years?
Wow.
Pretty much. And September 5th, an announcement came that they were officially rebranding as Andretti Global, right?
Yep.
And from Andretti Autosport. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, is that just a coincidence? Well, I immediately thought, it's not a coincidence. And then immediately after that, the rumors started really strong that Andretti had cleared the first hurdle. And to those who haven't followed as closely as we have, is that the first hurdle is that the FIA, not Formula One, but the FIA has to approve any team that wants to move into Formula One. And there were several in the works. And included on that list was Roden Cars. And that is an Australian company, an Australian billionaire, a tech billionaire.
But lives in New Zealand.
But lives in New Zealand. Okay. So Roden.
Built a track.
What's his name? Like Dusty or?
Dicker.
Yeah.
David Dicker.
That's it.
He actually has his own circuit.
Yes.
Which Lawson has driven because he's sponsored by Roden Cars.
Ah.
As is Jacob Douglas and a few others. Louis Sharp.
This is what Jessica Hawkins or Jamie Chadwick need is a Stroll or a Dicker to give them their own, because Stroll had his own track too in his backyard.
In his backyard.
So,
but yes, go. So I'll just say,
so Roden, what happened was Roden was one of the ones that was on the list, and they came out publicly and said, the FIA has told us that we are not, that we didn't make the cut, and congratulations to Andretti, they made the cut. So in other words, they leaked it. Yeah.
I can give you the exact quote.
Yeah.
He said, unfortunately, our bid was not successful. Recent information suggests, as anticipated from the outset of this process, that the only successful applicant will be Andretti Global. That is David Dicker.
Yeah.
Head of Roden.
And so I did some research.
By the way, Lawson
afternoon.
Is sponsored by Roden too.
Is he? Yeah. I think I remember seeing that, but I did some research today, and I was trying to look at the timelines. And so as late as third week of August, Andretti was saying, we still haven't heard. We still haven't heard from FIA. We still haven't heard from Formula One. No, we don't know what's happening. We still feel good. We still feel confident, but we haven't heard. And then they were quiet. And then on September 5th, they announced the rebranding of the Andretti Autosport.
Which was always on the cards.
Right. It was always in the cards. But, you know, think about it. If you're still with some uncertainty, are you ready to do all the stuff? I mean, it's just like the confidence of a driver after a great win or whatever. They just had a great win, and they announced this big Andretti Global name. And I think it was probably that week when they had heard from the FIA that they had been accepted.
Well, on the one show that you missed this year, or two shows that you missed this year, our good friend Dave O'Neill said that his intel tells him that they already have a team of 30 people in England, hand-selected, working on the project.
Interesting.
Which both me and Bob went, interesting.
Yeah.
So he said that on the radio.
And all you people listening, just let your gears turn in your head.
Yes, exactly. And I just want to fill in the blanks with Roden. Dave Dicker absolutely made his wealth in Australia, but built his own circuit. And Roden Cars, very clever concept. He has built effectively a Formula One car, which you can start with a key. Now I'm being over the top.
Yeah.
But it is a way to race a Formula One spec or size car.
Or close, yeah.
Close to, without having six engineers to start the thing. So the point is, yes, you can show up and basically understand, you know, what a Formula One car can do, because he's built his own, but he's built it in such a way that it is an arrive and drive situation.
Think about it. You could do this because you're not constrained by the rules.
No.
You could say, all right, instead of a 1.6 liter, I'm going to go with a 3 liter to make the horsepower much easier. And you can go with some sort of hybrid system, maybe an off the shelf, maybe, you know, something that you could. So in other words, you could make the same horsepower without spending gazillions of dollars.
Like and his other deal is he bought 80% of Carlin Motorsport.
Yes.
So he's a partner with Trevor Carlin. And as you know, Trevor's
brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant. And he's involved in all the junior series. So that will eventually lead to somebody from that Roden setup, from the effectively the Carlin Roden setup, will lead to somebody getting a Formula One drive. No question.
And remember what Roden said about who they would have for as a driver? Just female.
They said they would have, well, they even went further and said it would be Jamie Chadwick.
Yes, yes. So, you know, another tie-in, but, you know, and there's a reason. It's the same we just discussed. So that's what, but with Roden announcing and then with Andretti announcing their rebrand, you know, I think it's all but about to be announced. We talked about it before the show. It's like, who knows? Maybe they announce it at Coda.
All right.
Maybe they're waiting.
Yeah, listen, Mr. Host.
That wouldn't be unusual.
Yeah. Listen, Mr. Host, I'm going to turn it on you. Are Andretti going to be successful in this bid?
Ah, that is wonderful, because I was reading, I think it was AutoWeek.com or whatever, and I was reading on some of the comments, and somebody said, oh, they're going to show up, and great, Andretti's going to show up and be at the back of the grid, you know, circling around. But, and they said, like Haas did, and... But there's a very big distinct difference between Haas and Andretti. You remember when Haas F1 decided to come to Formula One, what did they say? They said, we don't even want sponsors on our car. All we want is the exposure. We want to grow Haas Automation globally. Mm-hmm. We're a household name here in the United States. There are some European countries. We want to be global. And Formula One is the way to be global. So they didn't. It's almost like, of course, they want to do well. But Andretti doesn't have that. Andretti has one goal when they go into a race series, and that's to win. And being serious by getting Cadillac and General Motors behind them, I don't expect them to walk in and be instantly successful. But I don't expect them to be satisfied, or, you know, I think them, you know, the fire that burns in the belly of, we have seen it. Whites of their eyes, as close as you and I are together, we've seen it with Michael and with Mario, and those guys have that competitive burn as much as anybody on the planet in any sport.
If you really did to take Michael to task and say, what is the one unfinished business, it would be the fact that he did do Formula One. He didn't make it for lots of reasons. One of which was Mika Häkkinen, who was very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, and another is he didn't sign up and go and live in Europe, which was essential at the time. But I think he and the Andretti clan, the family, I think that has been something that they talk about at Thanksgiving for the last 30 years. And I think it's not just Michael, it's Mario, it's Marco, it is global. I think this is a legacy that they want to achieve for Mario's legacy. And I think it's important for Formula One too.
I do. I think it's great for Formula One, but I've been saying this, kind of been banging this drum lately, but that competitive fire that some people, the greatest athletes can, You know, you can be the greatest physical specimen, but if you don't have that, I am not going to let you beat me. If you know that, that is the one thing that every top athlete, every top, you know, team. No,
we saw it at the Ryder Cup this weekend. I mean, you know, golfers don't get to play in teams, and you could see the passion. Did I mention that you guys didn't win? Oh,
it's funny. I didn't watch. I've never been much on golf, but I didn't watch. That's golf, right? Ryder Cup is golf.
Ryder Cup is golf. Yeah,
I do like my NFL football, but don't tell me the Cowboys score again.
We're
up against the break already because we want to come back because we sat down with somebody from CODA. It's a really interesting discussion. You're listening to your Sunday night with Speed City, and we'll be right back.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
If you want to know where the path to Formula One and Indy begins, it's three simple letters, VRD. VRD Racing of Atlanta, Georgia are dedicated to nurturing young, single-seater drivers on their quest to the pinnacle of motorsport. Having just wrapped up the team's championship title in 2021 in the F4 US Championship, they also have programs in FR Americas, the all-new USF Juniors, and the Road to Indy. VRD is the perfect environment for success. To join the team, drop them a DM on Instagram at velocity_RD.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Thank you, Mr. Jay Leno, for bringing us back. Hey, before we go to the discussion with CODA, there are a couple more comments on YouTube that I want to talk about. David Lawrence, several here. He says, got to admire Auto Week's wording of F1 franchise. That, David, has been a complete change of language. Everybody, including all the team principals in Formula One, and including not Chase Carey, who's the Liberty Media CEO? I'm drawing a blank.
Greg Maffei.
Yes, yeah. He has used that phrase, franchise, and they said, David, that they did that on purpose. This was their goal, is to set this up this way, and everything that they've done, including the cost cap and all of this stuff. So that was not.
It was always part of a master plan.
Yeah, it was part of a master plan. So, David does say one more thing. He says, "Correct me if I'm wrong, but it isn't. Isn't there a back door for Andretti Global to get on the grid if the vote goes against them?" I don't think so. I don't know what he could be thinking of there.
Well, I've said all along, it's not the team's decision. It's the FIA and FOM, the Formula One management.
Like the Mercedes, Red Bull, all that. Yeah.
Toto can whine on. I mean, by the way, even Haas have said, I don't really want to dilute. You know, they haven't been like, come on.
What's the word? Additive?
Yeah.
They're saying, if a team's not additive, then why are we bringing them in when we're all making a gazillion dollars right now?
And there's a lot to be said for that. I get it.
I wouldn't blame them. And, you know, I do want what's good for the sport, too.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I'm beginning to understand now when you look at a team like Sauber or, to a certain extent, the current Williams setup. Williams had their time at the top, but there are teams involved in Formula One now. And because we are getting into a world of franchises, not HRT / Caterham, where you live and die by the sword and one, you know, you run, you know, Minardi, they run
you're,
out. They,
you're living on hope that something will happen.
Something will happen and turn you around. No, now you are guaranteed a certain amount of money. There's a cost cap, so you're not going to be completely Goliathed out of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
All right, we will continue to follow this story very, very closely. So, and as soon as we hear anything, you will know. Follow us on our social media too. So, all right, let's, Jonathan, you want to set up this interview with Katie Chow from Circuit of the Americas?
Yeah, we are just over 20 days now till old Austin, Texas. That tiny little village of Elroy will be descended on by about 400,000 people and some of the greatest music.
Oh, no! Oh, mayhem!
It could be. They've already sold out all the parking. But yes, Katie Chow is the VP of marketing and communications. She's been there a couple of years now. We've got to know her well. She does a great job. But basically, we thought it was the right time to sit down with her. We'll be putting out more bits of it. It's on our SoundCloud. You can see the whole thing, the whole interview. But I've taken, you know, the main bits of the Formula One interview where she's setting up basically what's going to happen in 3 weeks' time.
It's such an exciting year, I think, to see, like you said, 3 Grand Prix in the U.S. And we're honored to be right in the middle of them, you know, on a permanent track that people can come visit 365 days a year. You know, we are prepped and ready to go earlier than we ever have been before for the U.S. Grand Prix coming up. And just, I think we're at 23 days now, which is wild to think about, super exciting. And we have so much entertainment, incredible on-track racing. And, you know, for those who live in Austin too, plenty of things to do on a daily basis. So happy to be chatting.
Yeah, I want to get into that, but let's go straight to Formula One because it is an exciting year. The championships will probably be decided. We've already decided the Constructors' Championship, and I think that it won't be long. In fact, probably next week when Max Verstappen wins the Drivers' Championship. But that's never been the real reason to come to COTA to see the championship. It's more that it's a festival for Formula One, and it's grown. And, I suppose like a few people, I was worried that Miami and Vegas would take the shine off COTA, but it doesn't seem that way. Over 400,000 last year. And it just seems that the COTA, and I think you mentioned one of the reasons, and that's the permanent track vision of COTA, but also the entertainment, the bands, and the festival feel that the city of Austin gets, which, you know, we'll see what Vegas does, but there's no question, it's unique, isn't it?
It really is. And I think we're so proud of our identity to being such a inclusive race in that we've been told from fans alike, we did so many interviews last year around the 10th anniversary, checking in with everyone, you know, getting their feedback, serving our fan community. And something that we heard very, very often was that we have a welcoming Southern hospitality presence to us. And we love to hear that because we want to be an amazing race for your first ever in-person F1 Grand Prix and for the legacy fans that have been watching this sport for years and years and years or passed down from families and generations. And so we love that it comes from that neighborly environment of you could be standing next to someone who's rooting for a different driver, rooting for a different team, but you can give each other a fist bump and say have a great race and then go watch a stellar concert together afterwards and have, you know, just a jolly good time. So we're very happy to be accompanied by the, you know, other tracks, but again, being permanent and having such a purpose-built, unique facility where it's challenging for the drivers on track, but open and, you know, able to explore for fans and guests. I mean, I feel personally very grateful to be, you know, working here and part of this experience.
But I want to talk about one of the other jewels that we've always managed to do, and I don't know how you do it, but ever since the get-go, we have managed to procure some of the best bands in the world. And I think you've outdone yourself this year. Tell us who we've got and tell us what night they're coming.
Absolutely. We're very excited about this year. You know, Green Day and Ed Sheeran and Interpol last year did a fantastic job, rounded out the weekend. But this year on Friday at the Germania Insurance Super Stage will be the Killers. You know, I don't think I can think of anybody who doesn't scream the lyrics to Mr. Brightside. I mean, we all know it, right?
Yep.
That'll be so fun to witness and experience. On Saturday, again, at the Germania Insurance Superstage will be Queen and Adam Lambert. Adam taking on the vocals. It's magical. I've heard a lot of the new recordings, you know, from the tour. And again, going to be incredible songs. I hope that everyone is working together and doing Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, as a unit. I think that that'll be incredible. And then on Sunday, we've just announced, super exciting, we'll have ESPN presents Tiesto, a post-race celebration at the Germania Insurance Amphitheater. So really easy to get to, right, you know, right after the racing finishes and we have that podium moment, walk on over and, you know, have a day party before you head home.
That is such a great lineup. Wow. So you don't have to leave straight after the race and get in traffic. You could sit around and enjoy a great band. I can't wait to see Queen. I grew up watching Queen, and I was one of those stalwarts that said it couldn't be done. Once he's gone, once Freddie's gone, you can't have anybody else. But little did we know, when you think about it, Adam Lambert absolutely can fill that role and has the personality to do it, and is doing it with aplomb. And I can't wait to see the all new look Queen, really, and hear the old tracks as well.
Absolutely. And what I think the beauty of it is it really can combine generations, from the fans who, have been following Adam Lambert from his early American Idol days to the fans who've been following Queen for ages. I think will be so cool to see them get together, and celebrate just music and where it all really started. I mean, Queen obviously has that history and presence in the music and entertainment industry. So, I mean, an honor to have them at the USGP in that Coda.
Oh, no question. Well, Katie, we're only a few weeks out, but if people have just been under a rock and haven't thought about what they're doing in October, where can they buy tickets and what's still available, and are tickets still available?
Oh, we're running quite low. So definitely encourage, securing them as soon as possible. I would say there is a beauty because we just released some single day tickets. So you're maybe only around, not around for the entire weekend, but there's a specific day that you're extremely interested in, whether it's because of what's going on track or, the amazing concerts that we have going on. Those are, there are some available for each day, quite limited. Parking sold out though. So make sure, you're also getting a shuttle pass if you're doing that, or figuring out how you're going to get transportation. But Friday, October 20th through Sunday, the 22nd, we are going to have an amazing weekend full with the first ever sprint race in America. So that's on Saturday with your sprint shootout. And that's, for those who don't know, that's qualifying for the sprint race. So that means that our Sunday Grand Prix qualifying is now on Friday. So, I mean, you've got a weekend packed of amazing racing alongside those artists that we mentioned. So thecircuit.com is probably your easiest place to grab some tickets.
Circuit.com.
I love all the females on our show tonight.
Another female in motorsport. You don't have to be a driver, guys.
She's good. Katie's really smart. She's glad that Coda's got her. She's doing a great job.
To be honest, she's a real breath of fresh air. And she's, as you can
all
hear,
the dudes
very erudite.
That we're used to dealing with?
No, just no, in terms of that role.
No, no,
she gets it.
With you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. Next weekend, though, let's look, because the times are different. We're not getting up super early for Qatar.
I'm going to be seeing the FR America's Championship wrapped up by either.
Oh, that's right. You're not going to be on the
show. Ryan Sheehan of Austin, Texas, or Callum Hedge of New Zealand.
So mathematically, Ryan still has a shot.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The weird thing is the point system is such that effectively with three races per weekend, Ryan could, and this is a good story, Ryan could conceivably catch him up and win the championship at COTA, which will be the final race.
Wow.
So we've got 3 weeks.
That's awesome.
We've got three races next weekend at VIR in FR and F4, and then three at COTA on the Trans Am weekend, which is November 4th and 5th. So if you want to see the next stars of American motorsport.
All right, guys. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Have a trip.